Great. Thank you so much, Luce. Do you want to grab your seats, everyone? Well, as Joe mentioned, we are going to start a new series this morning, looking at the Holy Spirit, and we want to go on an adventure together looking at the Holy Spirit. But it got me thinking, I don't know, like, how much of an adventurous bunch of people we are. I mean, I'm obviously adventurous because I'm wearing a backpack. If you've ever gone on safari, stick hands in the air. Oh, quite a few of us as well. Great stuff. Anybody ever skydived? No, we're not that. Oh, Pete, have you skydived? Bit. How do you skydive a bit? Well, that's a story we'll have to hear another time. Amazing. Well, Pete is leading at the moment as the most adventurous person. Anyone ever been camping? Okay, good stuff. Nearly all of us. We're getting kind of scraping the barrel now, just in case anybody hasn't put up their hand. Anyone ever been in the sea? Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so we're a reasonably adventurous bunch. Pete is leading the way, having jumped out of a plane a bit. I don't know what that means, but that's fine. But what we're going to do over the next 5 weeks is, as a people, we're going to go on an adventure. And the adventure that we're going to go on is to know more of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, I wonder how that makes you feel. Okay, depending upon how adventurous you are, you might be like, yes, that sounds amazing. I want to go on an adventure in terms of knowing more of the Holy Spirit. But some of you might hear that, and actually, because of past experiences, you might feel a bit nervous about going on that adventure. Yeah, so some of us, it's a little bit like, some people are very anti-camping, aren't they? The idea of camping is like, I absolutely don't want to do that. I just want to stay at home where I'm comfortable in my surroundings. And sometimes when we think about going on an adventure with the Holy Spirit, it could be a little bit like that. It's a little bit like, do you know what? That's just not really for me. I'd rather stay in kind of my nice, comfortable surroundings where I can kind of be in control of everything. I'm not really sure if I want to go on this adventure with the Holy Spirit. But if you're feeling at all like that this morning here, or if you're feeling at all like that this morning watching on the Zoom, I just want to reassure you, okay, that it's safe to go on this adventure together. That going on this adventure into a deepening experience of the Holy Spirit is something that we don't need to be afraid of. Okay, admittedly, there might be some hurdles or obstacles that we need to overcome. There might be some tricky kind of things that we need to maneuver around in our minds, in our thinking, or in our lives on this adventure, but you are safe. I want to say that you are safe when we talk about going on an adventure with the Holy Spirit. There is nothing to fear. And the reason that I'm convinced that we need to go on this adventure with the Holy Spirit is because each and every one of us, and as a church, we need more of God. Amen. We need more of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives and in our lives as a church. I wonder if you know whether you need more, whether you recognize whether you need more. Here's a few reasons you might need more of the Holy Spirit. Okay, if you ever question whether God really loves you, you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you ever get overcome by fear or anxiety or worry, you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you ever feel half-hearted in your affections or devotion to Jesus, then you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you ever feel hesitant or lack boldness in your witness about Jesus, then you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you ever struggle with your thoughts and have nagging thoughts that tell you things like you're worthless and you don't mean anything, then you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you ever feel captive to sin, things in your life that you do over and over again, but you wish you could be free from, then you need more of the Holy Spirit. If you ever just have a low expectation of encountering God or being used by God, then you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I could go on and on and on, but the reality is that all of us need more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so the first thing then that we need to grasp as we go on this journey together is that the Holy Spirit is a good gift from God. In Luke chapter 11, when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he says these famous words in verse 10. He says, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give what or who? Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him." So in a moment where Jesus is trying to teach his disciples about the goodness of the Father and about the Father is a God who will give you good gifts, gifts that you don't need to worry about, gifts that you don't need to be afraid of, that you can ask him for things. And we often take that and go, yeah, I can ask things of God and he will answer me. Yes, he will. But what Jesus is specifically talking about here is ask your Father for the Holy Spirit and he will give you the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's saying the best gift of the Father, the best gift of this good, good Father to you is the Holy Spirit. But I wonder how often we think of the Holy Spirit in that way. And so we're going to go on a journey together starting this morning. As we go on our journey, we're going to come across some things that the Holy Spirit brings that I've got in my rucksack this morning. Okay, so we're going to come across the fact that the Holy Spirit quenches our thirst. And we need to drink deeply of the Holy Spirit. And that we don't just take one sip on one occasion of the Holy Spirit and we're satisfied for the rest of our lives. But we need to be a people who are continually drinking deeply from the Holy Spirit. And Mike's going to talk about that next week. And then we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And that these are good gifts. And gifts that we shouldn't be afraid of, and gifts that we shouldn't just leave stuck in the corner and never use, but we should use them regularly and seek them and grow in them for the benefit of the church. And we're going to see how the Holy Spirit helps us to bear, not bananas, but fruit in our lives, the fruit of increasing Christ-likeness, which means that as we grow as a community, that reflects heaven more and more here on the earth. And then the final thing that we're going to see, and Ben's going to preach about this in a few weeks' time, is a little bit random, or it will seem random to you, certainly to take on an adventure. But this is mine and Miriam's will. You can see it's an official document because it says our wills on the front in a highlighted pen. We take these things very seriously. But we're going to see how the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of our inheritance. So this will is a guarantee of Joel, Josie and Caleb's inheritance. They're going to inherit our massive riches, lucky them, when we pass away. But we're going to see how the Holy Spirit, don't steal that, by the way, it's quite an important document, how the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of all the promises of God and all the things in Christ that we have received to us. But what we're going to look at this morning as we kind of begin our adventure is we're going to see how the Bible describes that the Holy Spirit is like this. How the Holy Spirit is a fire in the heart of every Christian. I'm not going to leave that running. Okay. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We're just going to read a few verses together this morning. We're not going to do an in-depth Bible study. But my prayer for us this morning is for all of us is that, hey, darling, you're right. My prayer for all of us is that we would run to the Father. You see how I worked that in? That we would have open hearts to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us and wants to do in us, because the Holy Spirit wants to meet with every single one of us. Do you want to go back to Mummy? You want to go back to Mummy? Yeah? Come on. You go to Mummy. She's over there, babes. She's over there. Caves? Caves is off. He's gone. She's over there, darling. There you go. You never see John Piper doing that, do you? So Acts chapter 2, verse 1-4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance. That's a fairly famous passage, probably a passage that many of us have read many times. It's a description of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. And I wonder, when you read through those few verses, what is it about that passage that grabs your attention? Yeah, perhaps it's the rushing wind or the tongues of fire. That's pretty unusual. The speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Or if we were to carry on reading, the bold proclamation of the gospel that bursts out of the room once the Holy Spirit has come. And all of those things obviously are very significant and impactful. But actually, do you know what really grabs me about that description? It's a very small word that crops up more than one occasion. And it's the word all. The word all. We see that they were all together. We see that the Spirit filled the entire house where they were sitting. We see that the Spirit, the tongues of fire, fell on each one of them. And then in verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the point I want to make this morning is that the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father to all who repent and believe in Jesus. So when the disciples burst out of the room and Peter begins to preach to all of the Jews who were dispersed and have gathered in Jerusalem for the feast, and they're hearing all these different people speaking in their own language, and Peter begins to preach this sermon about how Jesus was crucified but has been risen from the grave, and it says the people are cut to the heart and they say, what shall we do? And Peter says this to them in verse 38. And 39 says, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not some of you will receive, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all. And for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for all. So if you're a Christian here this morning, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you if you repent and put your trust in Jesus. It's not for a few extra, special, particularly holy, gifted, charismatic, in terms of a small C personality people. It is for everyone. The whole sweep of the story of the Bible is about a God who wants to dwell with his people, in the midst of his people. And this moment where the Holy Spirit is poured out is the climactic moment of God coming to dwell with his people on earth. When Jesus returns, that will be the ultimate climactic moment of God coming to dwell with his people. But for now, this is as good as it gets. The Holy Spirit coming and living in us, his people. And we have been cleansed so that God can come and live in us. Do you understand that? The reason that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, for your shame, to bear your punishment, so you could be forgiven and cleansed from all your unrighteousness, that's not the end of the story. It's so that God can fulfill his promise to come and make his home in you. That's God's desire, to come and live within you. And this allness of the Holy Spirit is emphasized when Peter is preaching, because he quotes Joel chapter 2 in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. Joel, an Old Testament prophet, spoke this probably 800 years before this moment arrives. And Peter quotes him here. He says, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That's all types of people, not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Yeah, what does that tell us? It tells us the Holy Spirit doesn't discriminate based upon race. Yeah, he comes and he's poured out on all flesh. It says the Holy Spirit doesn't discriminate based upon age. Yeah, young men and old men, based upon gender, sons and daughters, based upon position or power, servants. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon all flesh. And we see this promise in a number of different places in the Old Testament. One of the most powerful is in Ezekiel chapter 36 to 37. You might want to turn there briefly with me. All I'm really trying to do this morning is give you a kind of summary. We haven't got time to go into these passages in any great depth, but I just want to read a few verses from Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37. You may not go into Ezekiel very often in your Bible, but it's an amazing prophetic promise that we read in verse 26 of Ezekiel chapter 36. God says this, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." And then in Ezekiel chapter 37, after this kind of promise, God gives Ezekiel this incredible prophetic picture of this outworking itself in reality. So Ezekiel has a vision of a valley of dead bones, of dry bones. And he says, God says to Ezekiel in verse 3 of chapter 37, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones, can these dead bones come back to life?" And Ezekiel answers, "Oh Lord God, you know." In other words, I've no idea. Can they? It doesn't seem like they can do. And yet the picture is that God breathes his breath upon the dry bones and they come alive and they become an army. And then in verse 14 of chapter 37, it says this at the kind of culmination, "And I will put my spirit within you and you shall live." And God's point is this picture of these dry bones coming to life is a picture of me giving my Holy Spirit to you and making dead bones and dead hearts come alive so that when previously they were unable to obey God, now they can obey and follow God. And this is what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 3 when he talks about the need for everyone to be born of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God comes and he makes our dead hearts, our hearts that were dead to God, become alive to God. The Holy Spirit is the one who breathes new life into our hearts. And that's a new thing for the Holy Spirit to do. If you go right back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, when God is forming Adam, it says that God breathed life into Adam. The Holy Spirit, right at the beginning, was breathing life into humanity. And then the Holy Spirit comes and breathes new life into our hearts. Guys, the point I'm trying to make, and maybe I'm laboring it this morning, is that as we start this journey, the most important thing for you to know is that the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian here today, lives in you. He lives in you. Do you believe it? Do you understand that? And if you're not a Christian this morning, as I said, the Holy Spirit longs to come and make his home in you. You see, sometimes when we hear teaching on the Holy Spirit, and particularly when we're thinking about having more, we can begin to have a mindset where we focus upon what we don't have rather than what we do have. As we begin this journey of wanting more of the Holy Spirit in our lives and our church, it's crucial that we begin from the foundation of understanding all that we have already in the Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, what is that? What do we have in God? And just to help me, you might want to turn very briefly, final thing we're going to do this morning, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. But also, under some of the chairs are some signs on some sticks. If you have a look under your chair, see if you've got a sign under your stick and hold it up in the air for everyone to be able to see. Most of them are under the kids. Lou, there's one under your seat. Jeanette, could you grab the one under ours? Thanks. Can you just hold those up? Take a look at rounds. Hold them nice and high in the air. Amazing. Turn them around so everyone on the Zoom can see. Okay, these are some of the things that Paul says, yeah, we have in Christ as Christians. He says that we have received every spiritual blessing. He says that we've been chosen before the foundation of the world. He says that we've been adopted into God's family. He says that we've been blessed in the beloved, that's Christ. He says that we've been redeemed. He says that we've been lavished with his grace. Says that God's will has been made known to us, says that we've received an inheritance, and it says all of this has been sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we have all of this in Christ, yeah? This is what we have. But then Paul goes on to pray what may seem like a surprising prayer. Having just outlined all of these amazing things that we have in Christ, he says this in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1. He says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Why? That you may know what the hope is that you've been called, what the riches of this glory and inheritance in the saints, what the immeasurable greatness of this power. The point being, you have all of these things in Jesus, but Paul's prayer for the church is, I pray that God would give you the spirit to open up the eyes of your hearts, that you may know what is yours, that you may know what you have fully through Christ. For each and every one of us, the Holy Spirit wants to bring into each of us the full experience, the reality of our inheritance in Jesus. Let's think about our match again, okay? Now, I know I said the Holy Spirit's like this, but in some senses, he's really not like this. Because I can hold up this match for, what do you reckon, 30 seconds before it gets too close to my fingers and I have to wave it out or it just burns out. This light will go out very soon. And also, this light doesn't really have any capacity within it on itself like this to bring any kind of heat or light to anything. I'm guessing none of you are feeling particularly warmed right now, yeah, by the match. That's not what the Holy Spirit is like. The Holy Spirit, in some sense, is not a perfect analogy, but the Holy Spirit is like a pilot light in your boiler, yeah? In the life of every Christian, he's always there, always present, always burning. But the pilot light on its own, yeah, never goes out. But it doesn't bring warmth to the house, does it? What you need is the whoosh of the gas, yeah, the power of the gas to bring warmth so that the impact of the presence of that tiny little light is felt in every single room of the house. That's like the Holy Spirit in our lives as a Christian. Every single one of us have him. But let me ask you the question, is he warming? Is he filling every single part of your life? One final picture just to kind of help us along the same lines. Is that for many of us, it's possible to live with the Holy Spirit in your life like two strangers living in the same house, where they're always present, but there's no companionship, there's no relationship, there's no intimacy, there's no union there. So before I got married, I lived with a bunch of different people, and then there was a little season where I had nobody living with me, and a guy that I didn't know needed somewhere to stay. And so he just came and stayed in the flat that I was staying with, like a lodger. So he lived there, but we barely crossed paths. And actually, I didn't really know him. So there'd be times where we'd be physically in the same flat together, you know, living in the same space. And yet he'd be in one place, I'd be in another place. We didn't really have any interaction. And when I used to go home, I used to kind of, to be honest, I didn't really know him, it was a bit awkward, kind of wish that he wasn't really there, you know, but I didn't kind of going, I'm so excited to go back and see this guy. He was a lovely guy, by the way. There was nothing, no issue with this guy. I just didn't know him. We inhabited the same space, yeah, but there was no kind of life in the sense of our relationship, yeah. Sometimes we can live in the dynamic of our relationship with the Holy Spirit a bit like that. He's there. He's present. He's never going to leave. But his impact and influence on our lives is really minimal. That's not the way it should be when it comes to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It should be much more like it is in terms of my relationship with Miriam. Whereas we live in the same place. And when we're there, we're there. We're together. We enjoy each other's company. We want to see each other. We're doing life together. I'm influenced by her. That should be the dynamic of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, where I'm longing for more time with him as I would long for more time with Miriam. So the question I want to leave you with this morning is, which picture is closest to your experience of the Holy Spirit at the moment? Are you looking forward to being with him on a daily basis? Are you looking to encounter more of him? Do you want to walk in his power and presence in your lives? Or has he become a neglected lodger in your heart? I just want us to just take a few moments to be quiet and think about that question before we respond by listening to a song. So you might just close your eyes this morning. Just want to give us the opportunity this morning to freshly invite the Holy Spirit. To freshly invite him to just come and fill afresh every part of our lives. We'll be thinking about this a bit more next week, as I said, but why wait till next week? And it may be that for some of us, we need to repent. In other words, to turn away from the attitude of the Holy Spirit being like a lodger. If you know that you've neglected the Holy Spirit in your life, then today is an opportunity to say, Lord, I recognize that. I repent of it. I'm sorry for it. I turn away from it. And I want to allow you, I want to invite you to just come in afresh and just inhabit every part of my life. If you know for you, you've neglected the Holy Spirit because of fear or anxiety or you've believed lies actually about who the Holy Spirit is, then today is an opportunity to turn away from those lies and just say, Holy Spirit, come afresh. And perhaps this morning, you've never invited the Holy Spirit into your heart. Perhaps this morning you wouldn't describe yourself as a Christian. Again, there's an invitation from God this morning to you. He says, just ask me. Yeah, put your trust in Jesus to cleanse you from all your sin and ask me and I will come and make my home in you. And if that's you this morning, I'd encourage you to ask and to pray that prayer today. Again, why wait? Why wait? Why put off receiving the greatest gift? So let's just in the quiet to present ourselves before God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning. And Lord, where we've neglected you, we just want to say we're sorry for that. Lord, where we treated you like a lodger or like a gift that's been left in the corner of our hearts without giving you the full attention, Lord, we just invite you to come afresh and take your rightful place in our hearts. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, just come and fill us afresh. We just say, we want more of you. For some of us, that's quite a big prayer to pray, I sense, where there's nervousness, hesitation, bad past experiences, anxiety. To actually say, God, I want more of you, is to say, Lord, I want to be more surrendered to you. To say, I want more of you, is to also say, God, you can have more, if not all of me. But I really believe that the Holy Spirit is provoking some of you this morning to say that. Say, yeah, Lord, actually, I want more of you. Maybe you've never asked for more before. I want more of you, Holy Spirit. I'm not satisfied with the glimpse that I've seen. I'm not satisfied with the taste that I've had. There is more. I want to be living in the fullness of everything you've won for me. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us afresh this morning, we pray. Fill us afresh this morning, we pray.